Good morning, YouTube. Today is the 18th of October 2020. We're glad you joined us. We have a very special guest with us today. He's not a stranger from afar, but he's from afar. He's from 2,000, almost 2,200 miles away. Brother Walt Stickle from Bandon, Oregon. And he called me Thursday morning, early Thursday morning. He has a car, a Jetta, a Volkswagen Jetta, if you know what that is. And he called me early Thursday and he said, "The eagle has landed," is what he said. And I was all grins because I know what he went through. I won't go into all that right now, but it was quite a journey that he came in on. We're going to turn the mic around and have Mark do his read the Bible, and then after that we're gonna sing like we always do some hymns, and then we're gonna sing one of the Psalms. So, Mark, what are you reading this morning?
Jeremiah 33:1-6.
Okay.
"Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and for all the wickedness, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth." Thank you.
You know, that's really interesting, Mark, because it shows two different sides of the attributes of God. The first side is judgment, and the second side is mercy and healing and reconciliation. Very good. All right, well, the first song we're going to sing today is, who was that, you, Mark?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, "He Will Guide Me with His Eye." Yeah. And then Rosette selected I Love to Tell the Story. And then, so we're going to first sing from we use the old school hymnal. And it's an old primitive Baptist hymnal with a lot of really great songs in it. And we're looking on 457. 457. Mark, you want to start that for us?
It's called "He Will Guide Me."
Yeah, 457.
"Oh, the sweet
gospel story, how it cheers as years go by, all the way from earth to glory. God will guide me with his eye. He will guide me with his eye. On his promise I rely, all the way from earth to glory. He will guide me with his eye. He who knows the sparrow falling, rules the countless worlds on high, is to every pilgrim calling, I will guide thee with mine eye. He will guide me with his eye. On his promise I rely, all the way from earth to glory. He will guide me with his eye. Storms around us may be sweeping, thunder's crashing in the sky. But if we are in his keeping, he will guide us with his eye. O ye poor and love forsaken, by the world to him draw nigh. Let his promise true be taken, he will guide you with his eye. He will guide me with his eye. On his promise I rely, all the way from earth to glory. He will guide me with his eye. The next one is 125.
I love Tilton Stewart.
And I guess that was a selection by Rosette, right? 125. I've often told people, you know, I like this song. I love to tell the story, but the problem is they don't give the whole story oftentimes. They just give a partial story. They don't talk about election. When I say they, I'm talking about many churches. They don't talk about election, predestination. They don't tell us that we're a stationary earth. They don't tell us the evils of Roman Catholicism. Okay. So we need to tell the whole story, not just a partial story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. More wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And then in scenes of glory I'll sing the new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Okay, well, let's sing 440, and then we'll sing one of the Psalms. And I'm going to have Brother Walt Stickle and I are just going to have a conversation today. We'll probably cover different subjects. We're going to cover some things that we've talked about in the past. We're going to talk about certain terms that we've heard used over the years, like natural law and common grace and the well-meant offer of the gospel. And other terms like you've heard all of your life, like the globe, for an example, the globe. And, you know, we'll touch on maybe some things you haven't heard about NASA, you know, the origins of NASA. And we're going to talk about the age of the Earth, the age of the Earth. You know, some people think it's millions and millions and millions of years old. We're going to talk about the terms geocentric and heliocentric this morning. And we're also going to talk about, you know, I've learned a lot from Walt. You know, Walt used to fly a plane. One day he asked me, why do you think they call it a plane? I'll have him touch on that. This is called the Lily of the Valley, 440. And there are many today that are denying the Lily of the Valley. And they're replacing the bright and morning star with the light bearer, Lucifer. And they're denying that Satan fell from heaven. I had a Primitive Baptist elder tell me one time that he did not believe that Lucifer fell from heaven. Can you believe that? It's amazing how people can get so distorted in their thinking. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach his goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hunger fill. Then sweeping up the glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Okay, the next one we're going to do is actually taken out of, I think I have it here. Maybe I don't. I'll tell you what, we'll just conclude this with Psalm in your Psalter. Let's see here, Walt, this is the Psalter.
Okay.
And it's on page 4. Page 4. And it's 4B. It's the Psalms, the sections. And it's 4B right here. 4B. Psalm 4 is a wonderful psalm, by the way. You might want to read that today if you get a chance. Answer when I call, O Lord, who justifies. In my stress you freed me. Hear in grace my cries. Sons of men, how long will you my glory shame? Will you love what's worthless? Will lies be your aim? Know the Lord his saints has set apart in grace. And the Lord will hear me when I seek his face. Tremble in your anger, yet from sin depart. On your bed in silence, speak within your heart. May you sacrifice now, sacrifices just, in the Lord only, placing all your trust. Who will show us goodness? Many people say, the light of your face, Lord, lift on us, we pray. You have given my heart greater joy by far than when grain and new wine most abundant are. So in peace I lie down, I will rest and sleep. For, O Lord, you only will me safely keep. Why don't we sing one of the other psalms? We've gotten a lot of requests for singing the psalms. People like to hear the psalms sung. And so we love to sing the psalms. And why don't we sing... why don't we sing on page 33? This is a well-known psalm. The 23 psalm is 23b. Page 33. And it's interesting. We got this psalter from the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And the person that wrote these, I think, did a good job of summarizing what the actual psalm is saying. It's not verbatim, but it's awfully close. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He maketh me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. A table thou hast furnished me in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Well, we'll sing one more before we move to the other part of the service today. How about page 94, Psalm 147? Is taken out of Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing. For it is pleasant and to praise. It is a comely thing The Lord builds up Jerusalem, brings back her captive sons. He binds up all their wounds and heals the brokenhearted ones. He counts the number of the stars, he names one. Our Lord is great and great in power, his wisdom search can none. The Lord upholds the meek and brings the wicked to the ground. With thanks, so praise the Lord our God, with harps his praises sound. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who formed the earth below, prepareth rain, who maketh grass upon the mountains grow. He cares for the beasts that roam the field, and doth their food supply. He watches o'er the ravens young, and feeds them when they cry. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust his love are pleasing in his sight. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust his love are pleasing in his sight. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today for this time that we have together. It's been a blessing to have Brother Walt with us. He's been here since Thursday, and we've just thoroughly enjoyed his had together. I've often wondered, you know, how long, if ever, we were going to be able to see each other. You know, and it was a God thing that brought us together. It was the good Lord. But today I'm just going to kind of try to engage Walt in some just general discussion. I see we got a fly flying around. Did you see the fly on the top of Biden's head during the debate? Everybody made a big deal over it. There was a fly on his head for 2.5 minutes. It sat there on his head, and he didn't even see his head. Anyway, Walt, welcome. We're so glad to have you here with us.
Well, thanks for the invite. And it's really been a blessing to see this part of the country and fellowship every day.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just start where we probably should start, and that is I find it interesting. I've had many people ask me over the years, when were the angels created? Okay. When were the angels created? And, I usually take them to Colossians, the first chapter. I'm going to get to my question in a minute, Walt. But I usually take them to Colossians, the first chapter. Because the question they ask is when, and I remind them that God is not in time. Okay, God is, eternity past and eternity future and eternity present are all God's. The way we describe God and his infinite wisdom and his infinite glory. And so when we think about, when people ask, when were the angels created or so on, first Colossians, it says in the 15th verse, who is the image of every creature? For by him were all things created. That includes the angels, by the way. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. So that answers the question about angels that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible. That's a whole subject, invisible. What's invisible?
whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And then it answers the question why they were created. They were created for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So when somebody asks me, you know, well, when were the angels? I just read in that scripture and I just let it rest at that. But here's what we do know is that God had a plan. God had a decree that was a master plan. And I've often asked people, if God had chosen to do so, and I know it's ridiculous, but I'm trying to make people think, if God had chosen to do so, could he have created Lucifer such that he would have never fallen? Of course he could have. He could do all things. But it was not in God's plan to create Lucifer such that he would not fall. And that's evident by the fact that he created both elect angels and non-elect angels. Do you know that the Bible refers to us? And you can find that if you want to do a word study on that. It's in Titus. But Paul refers to elect angels. And I was talking to an old Primitive Baptist elder one time, and I said, you know, Lucifer was a non-elect angel. And Michael and Gabriel were elect angels. They did not fall. But a third of the angels fell with Lucifer. And you say, well, why are you bringing this up? Because we can't get to the creation of Adam and Eve until we deal with Lucifer. Okay? Now, it's interesting. In Genesis 1, and when, you know, as you go through the creation account, it's really quite interesting because I was just mentioning to Brother Walt, you know, for years and years and years, I bought into all the lies taught about the earth, you know. But the Bible tells us different than what the Darwin evolutionary people talk. Tells us totally different. You know, there was a beginning to the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face. Notice that. The face of the waters. I've often kidded around with Walt that, you know, my dad said that the only thing you have to know to be a plumber is that payday's on Friday, and water seeks its own level. In other words, water will not run uphill. And God said, let there be light. And he didn't say, let there be a sun. Notice, the light was created before the sun. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The 24-hour period is described right there, and it hasn't changed over the last 6,000 years or however old the earth is. Evening and morning is still 24 hours. It said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And I'm sure Walt will get into that a little bit. You know, Walt, by being an airline pilot, can tell you a little bit better and describe a little bit better. I mean, he's landed and took off so many times his plane and traveled across the United States.
Small planes.
Small plane, yes.
But I did fly across the United States in 1977.
God made the firmament, the waters which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament. What? People say, what's that mean? It means just what it says. There are waters above the firmament. When you look up in the blue sky, you're seeing the blue is the water above the firmament. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good, and so on. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but let's jump down now to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Notice that this was the beginning of the fourth day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And we already see that God had created light and darkness. So now he's creating the lights in the firmament. Notice that the lights he created are in the firmament. We're a closed system. And the purpose of it was to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And God made two great lights, verse 16. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. I like the way he just kind of on the side says, oh, by the way, he made the stars also. I love that. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven. And so on. And so it says, then the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And then he made the creatures. And we see the winged creatures and so on. And then we see in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God created Adam and Eve after his image. And in his likeness. And he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female, God made a distinction when he created them, male and female. He didn't create a he-she, okay? I was sitting out in the parking lot the other day, and this person came out, and I said to Rosette, is that a woman or a man? Rosette looked, and she goes, I honestly don't know. God created male and female to have a distinctive difference. And so, verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice in chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and earth were finished. The earth is not ever expanding. God is not still creating stars. He's not creating planets. He's not continuing to expand the universe. Not if you believe the Bible, because it says the heavens and earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And so he's not still creating angels. The host refers to angels. Okay, now, one other thing I want to point that up and turn it over to Brother Walt. Chapter 3, verse 1. We were talking about Lucifer and his fall. And that brings up another question that people ask me. Well, when did Lucifer fall? Okay, well, this should answer part of your question. The serpent, which was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Okay. Now, God placed this serpent, this subtle beast, in the Garden of Eden. And God had a specific purpose for placing this beast in the Garden of Eden. And so we see, I had a guy tell me, you know, one time, Satan is not God's rival. Satan is God's devil. Satan is not a rival. Satan may think he's a rival to God, but nothing rivals God. God is independent of his creatures. Verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Okay, so this shows the influence of Satan in the Garden of Eden. And God's the one that placed the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Now, that being said, Brother Walt, the first question I have for you, and take all the time you need, and that is, how do you distinguish what people today call the free will of man, okay, from freedom of conscience? How would you make a different distinction between, for an example, when someone says, you have a free will, and when someone says, you have power to decide whether you're Christ or whether you're Satan's, you control your own destiny. How do you distinguish between the freedom of the will that people say we have and freedom of conscience?
Well, if people believe in man, it's free will. And when you believe God's law, when you believe God and his creation, God and the Holy Spirit gives you a conscience. You know right from wrong. And what we're seeing in 2020 now, we're seeing our freedom of conscience. What is taking the freedom of conscience away? Everybody has to wear a mask. You don't have. Man is taking what God has given us.
It's a good answer. You know, in other words, I know it's a tough. Nut to crack. It's tough to accept the fact. I've never denied that man has choices. I've never denied that man has a will. Okay. But I do adamantly deny that man has the free. Man is either in bondage to Satan, because if we believe the Bible, it tells us specifically that man is born and conceived in sin. And Ephesians tells us he's dead in his trespasses and sin. And hence, that's why Christ ministered to Nicodemus, who came to him by night, and said, you must be born again. And so you're right on track. Well, I mean, those, and I encourage people, if you've never read the Humanist Manifesto, get a copy and read it. Because the humanists totally deny God, but they totally affirm the free will of man. So the atheists, and we'll use terms, the Arminians and the Catholics, are all in agreement of the doctrine of the free will of man. Well, not serving and worshiping the Christ of the Bible. They're not worshiping the God of the Bible. They're worshiping a false God.
They're worshiping a man.
They're worshiping a man. Okay, the second question I have
is, I want to say one thing.
Yes.
And a good example of this is, we're in 2020, and there's talk of a vaccine that man wants to give to the whole world. Man likes to play God, and they think, see, God is creation. Man, we have an immune system, and you know, we depend on God, not man. You know, so that's another example of taking away freedom. You will have a shot. I mean, that's...
You're right. And Walt mentioned yesterday on our broadcast, if you want to get your boat loaded, just go to any search engine and put in vaccine, you know, those who are the, against the vaccine. Anti-vaccine. Just put that in. You'll be amazed. Thousands of people are coming against vaccines. And so there's a lot of people that understand that vaccines have never done anything. In fact, the research shows that the vaccines did not slow polio down. And by the way, I'm going to get it off on that too much, but I'm, you know, people are so illogical. The people that are principally spending millions and millions of dollars on vaccines, and I'll name him Bill Gates for an example, are the same people that are into the population of the earth. Now, go figure. Are you going to take a vaccine for someone who is propagating and reinforcing that the earth should be depopulated down to just a few hundred million people? I'm not going to take it, God being my helper. And I was talking to Walt one day, and I said, Walt, are you going to take the vaccine? And you know what he told me? I'll tell you one thing, he said, Larry. They're going to have to hold me down. He said, they're going to have to hold me down. Listen, we should reject the vaccine. Now, the next question I have for Walt. Go ahead.
See, Larry, yeah. Could you turn the heat down?
Yeah, turn it down a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I'll turn the heat down a little bit here in just a second. There we go. That'll kick off shortly. The next question I have for Walt is, so we now have man created by God. God took the dust of the earth and he formed man. And then man, it succumbs to the influences and temptations of Satan. And God had warned these Adam and Eve that in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And it's interesting because he said in the day you eat of it. And so a lot of people will say, well, they didn't die that day. Yes, they did. They died spiritually that day. Now, physically, they died eventually. And God, Adam tried to hide himself in the garden. As if you could hide yourself from an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. And of course, God said to get Adam's attention, where art thou, Adam? And Adam says, I'm here. He goes, why are you hiding? I'm paraphrasing. He says, in other words, he knew he'd been caught. Well, what did God do? And I believe that Christ is eternal, by the way. That's why I mentioned Christ in this whole thing. There's a lot of people that say that Christ was non-existent until the incarnation. Christ is a part of the infinite Trinity. He's part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And according to Scripture, he never changes that. He's immutable. In other words, his nature never changes. His nature is the same as it's always been. Now, Christ was manifested in time in human form, but Christ has always been. Well, so the interesting question that I want to pose to Walt is that, because there's a lot of dispensationalists that will try to talk about two and three different ways to salvation. There's a way for the Gentiles, and there's a way for the Jews, and never the twain shall meet. And we can talk a little bit about that. But my question to Walt is, how did God, from a symbolic way, show the importance of a blood sacrifice to Adam and Eve?
See the
how did God when Adam and Eve fell and they made coats, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, right? How did God show the significance of blood being shed for Adam and Eve?
Sin.
Yeah, actually made coats. He killed animals, shed blood, and clothed them with animal skins. Blood was shed. That was a representative of what Christ would do, you know, thousands of years later. And we see that representation all the way through the Old Testament in these, all of these animal sacrifices. And then when we get to Hebrews, we see that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. And so you're right. And so the sin question is, there had to be, that's why we're told that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. And so many people deny the importance of blood sacrifice. They deny the importance of Christ's death on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. And there's certain people that overemphasize aspects of the nature of God. For an example, it's important to emphasize predestination and election and effectual calling, but it's also important to emphasize the importance of a blood sacrifice, shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's a very well-known, I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm sure you all figure out who it is. There's a very well-known, internationally known minister who doesn't want to talk about the blood of Christ. There's something wrong with that. And he calls himself Reformed, but he very rarely wants to talk about the blood of Christ. You know, and we used to sing a song that, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the next question I have for Walt is,
I would say too, you know,
yes,
the blood of, you know, what's important is not the blood of the goats, it's the blood of Christ.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, there's the dispensationalists now and the Zionists. They want to reinstitute animal sacrifice. They want to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Whether they'll ever pull it off, I don't know. But the point is, they have a pure red heifer there, and they have their sacrifice tables all prepared to start reinstituting animal sacrifice again. It's blasphemy.
You know, it's almost an enactment of the garden.
Yes. In other words, good point.
They know the good tree of good and knowledge.
Yes.
And they're taking the bite.
That's a really good point, and we could even talk about that. I mean, in other words, if you do some research on the Babylonian Talmud and the Kabbalah, you'll find that it's nothing more than serpent worship. It's the worship of the serpent. They raise the serpent. Mm-hmm. And isn't there even that represented? I think I saw this. One of the popes, I think it was Pope Paul, that had the serpent on the cross, raised up the serpent. Christ said, if I be raised up, I'll draw men to me, not the serpent. And so if you ever want to find something very interesting, Google up Trump's Trump talking about the serpent. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I wanted to get into conversation a little bit about this aspect of the denial of today. You know, they asked Donald Trump, "Have you ever asked God to forgive you from your sins? Have you ever asked Him for forgiveness of sins?" And I'm not quoting this from word for word, but what I got from it is what he said was, "No, I don't believe I have." He said, "I just try to do better the next time." In other words, he says, I've never really asked God to forgive me for my sins. I try to learn from my mistakes. Well, we've talked about this before, but there's two kinds of religions on the face of the earth. There's grace and there's works. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that distinguishes, all other religions from the Christian faith?
Well, I had it to learn and lost it.
We have works on one side, and we know.
It's like this. You know, God has revealed some things to myself and yourself. It's God that reveals. In other words, it's in Galatians where God says, you know, it doesn't come from man. It comes from a revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's everything that, everything that the truth is, what we do know is truth, but we do, it comes directly from Christ as a revelation.
Amen.
Just to give you a short example we look at the Pope. The Pope is just a man, and there's only one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ. And works is, works are depending on men, like the vaccine. They need a vaccine to stop this COVID. Their belief is in man instead of God.
Very good. That's excellent and very timely for today, because this is exactly where we're going.
That's where they're going with it. We see the beast system rising.
Well, then we also see the there are many, many different today in so-called, I call them seminaries, and there are things like natural law, common grace, the well-meant offer of the gospel, dispensationalism, the secret rapture. What makes the term natural law so dangerous, Walt?
Well, with the Holy Spirit, God has given us a conscience, and we know God gives us a conscience that we understand and can stand against what is, without God right now, we would be dependent on man. Mm-hmm. Man and this whole agenda, this planned pandemic that's been put on the world. I mean, what makes this so different in my lifetime, and you read about the different events, this is a big false flag. But the false flag has been put on the whole world. And are we going to follow man? Man is writing the agenda. And we trust in the Lord forever.
Amen. You know, I want to welcome aboard Thomas, Timothy, and Adiola Sog, who's with us this morning. And all of those others that are on here, you know who you are on both channels. I want to welcome you all. So we basically, so what we have is we have the remedy for sin, which is the perfect sacrifice and shed blood of Christ. We have the fact that God is the one that chooses us. John 6:37 says that all that the Father has given to him and all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. And we have the golden chain of salvation in Romans 8:28 through 39, which says that for those for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died. What a distinction. You know, I was talking to Walt yesterday. He made a really good point. He said, you know, the Catholic faith or the Catholic religion is nothing more than the exaltation of man. It's putting man on the throne and taking God off the throne. That's exactly what it is. Years and years and years, the Roman Catholic Church has referred to the papacy as His Holiness and the Vicar of Christ. And the Reformers, bar none, I mean, we're talking Zwingli, we're talking even before the Reformation, people like the Albigenses, the Waldenses, the Paulicians, they all named universally the Pope as the Antichrist. Zwingli, Tyndale, Calvin, Luther, John Knox. They saw by studying their Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 coming into play, where it says he will sit in the temple of God and proclaim that he is God. And that's what we've got with Pope Francis right now. That's why if you go to the Vatican website and you pull up his latest sermons, and this is the next question I have for Walt. Do you know that he is now saying that by, and this is so convoluted about this last night, I don't even understand. I don't understand how he can get here. Maybe someone else can enlighten me. But he says, by everyone wearing a mask, this will reinforce people the importance of also understanding climate change. What does wearing a mask have to do with us understanding? Because it's like Walt said yesterday, it's all fiction. You know, it's like Walt told me one time, Larry, they have to have evolution. What they're doing, they have to have evolution, because he said the reason they have to have evolution is if people will believe evolution, they'll believe anything. And I referred earlier to NASA and the space program and Trump's what's he call his program, space something, you know, his new
space force.
Thank you. You know, so. What, Walt, explain to us, why is it there's so much emphasis on climate change by the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope?
Well, I think it goes to reality and fantasy. In other words, the question was put to me, it was in a sermon or something. Can a youngster between the ages of, you know, 4 and 5, can they decipher between fantasy and reality? And it's an easy answer, you know, but the point we're making here is they're taking our reality is God's creation, and we can look out the window, and it's in Romans. I mean, you know, you can look out, you can't, everything points to God and God's creation. And what they're doing with climate change, they're playing God. They're the God. They're going to change the climate.
Right.
I mean, It's the same. It's the same with. We went to the moon. Of course, now we don't want to lose anybody. We're not going to go to the moon thing. But they didn't go to the moon in a tin can. You know, and when I was coming out here, coming across the top of from Laramie to Cheyenne, you go across a little pass and up there's a little plateau. And it was the sun was just coming up. I remember years ago. I mean, I have a completely different view of a sunrise or a sunset because it does. They've changed our. You know, when I used to hike into the mountains in the middle of the night and look up into the heavens, and they tell us that. There's no end. There's universe after universe. Now, when I watched that sunset, I knew what was happening. That sun, what you said earlier in Genesis, the sun and the moon and the stars are inside of the firmament. And so that when I looked out and seen the light glaring off the top of and started to see a blue sky, see the firmament acts like a lamp. Lamp shade. If it wasn't for the firmament, there wouldn't be a dawn because the light comes up and it glances off the dome. And the only place where there's a shadow when the sun is not even coming over is underneath a car because it's glancing off the firmament. But where I'm going with this is, see, it changes our reality. And how do they change? I can remember when the first change. I remember we used to watch TV, and Walt Disney used to come on every Sunday, you know, and they were building Disneyland.
Mm.
Disneyland changes the children's reality. And now they not only built one in Los Angeles, you know, in California, but there's also one in Florida, and there's one in France, and there's one in Japan, you know, and they're changing the whole reality. And that's one of the reasons for the global warming, because it's a religion. It's a religion, and the reason why people are wearing so many masks and still going along with this hoax is because they've been taught evolution. Evolution, without evolution, this mask thing, this pandemic. I mean, they planned this and they knew exactly when the minds were right. To trigger this, because here we are in October, you know, in the mass thing is getting stronger and stronger, you know, when there's, you know, I live in Coos County, Oregon, and not a single soul has died of COVID.
Wow.
You know, so your question, I mean, the biggest thing what they've done in my lifetime too, I'm 76. You know, and when I was growing up, I used to listen to my elders. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love this. When the elders, as a kid, I'd listen. But now, they listen to academia.
Mm.
You know, I was the first generation when I graduated that you have to go to college to be successful. And in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Jesuits and the most powerful man in the world, they say, is the President of the United States. No, it's not. It's the Black Pope. And people say, well, they don't control everything. To control things, they don't control everything, but they do control academia. They're the most powerful. There's 28 Jesuit universities in the United States, 50 Jesuit high. You know, and that's where, you know, and this pandemic is a Vatican Jesuit planned pandemic. It's the largest entity in the world is the Roman Catholic Church. And the thing that makes this so much different is because this lie they're doing, it's like 9/11 happened in the United States or the moonshot. But this here is has affected the behavior right down to the layman on the whole world. And this only can be done by education, by the academia.
182 countries, probably more than that now, but it's
188, I heard.
Wow. Yeah, it's, and you made a very great observation there. It's not lessening, it's strengthening. And, you know, when it first started, we were told, well, we just want to lower the curve. That was the way to get it started. And now they're not talking about whether the curve was lowered or not. And like you said, the actual mortality rates of people is so small that most other viruses would far excel in terms of the mortality rate, including the common flu. But they took this and used it and expanded on it and lied about it and created a monster for their own purposes. And that is to not only... we began this whole thing with this talk about freedom of conscience, to take away man's freedom of conscience and to bring about a contemporary modern day Inquisition. The Inquisition has never stopped. And so, you know, and it's going to continue on as they, you know, Trump bragged about the fact that he had the whole military at his disposal to administer this vaccination to the masses. Now, like Walt says, will they ever make it mandatory? I can assure you, if one do not take the vaccination, will be persecuted in some manner or form, just like those who don't wear a mask. Listen, all you have to do is go into a place that has a sign out that says, "We require a mask," and see how you're treated. I have a friend of mine who happens to be with us today, Adiola, who shared a story. He went into a establishment. He'd known the owner of the establishment for 8 years. He thought that he had a personal relationship with the owners of this establishment. And he showed up a couple days ago, and they said, and he'd already explained to them that he had a medical exemption from wearing a mask weeks ago, and they said it would be no problem. Yesterday, they go, "Look, if you don't have a mask, you can't do business with us." Just like that.
This has all the earmarkings of the Inquisition, all just how the Inquisition, you know, the Book of Martyrs is a different figure. 68 million people were killed. It was civil power, and plus the people that are wearing masks, that they become the police.
Yeah. Yes, and they also become the tattletalers on anyone else that doesn't participate it. And that's where they're doing this contact tracing, and that's why this technology is interfacing with this. And 5G, we were not going to get into all that today. But the point is, like Walt says, this is forced. This is like putting people on a rack psychologically. It's putting people on a rack.
Yes. It's like, could you repeat what you said earlier about what the Pope just said about the mask?
Yeah, he said, you know, by wearing the mask, you can reinforce people's acceptance for climate change. So that basically reinforces what Walt is saying, is that if you can believe the lie of evolution, you'll believe any lie. So if you wear the mask, what you're actually doing is saying, "Bring it on. Tell me some more fiction. Tell me some more stories." You know? Wow. Well, listen, I think our singing took up about 30 minutes. So we've been going about 40 minutes. We're going to kind of bring this to a close. I want to end with this, though. because there is a major deception right now with this dispensational secret rapture futurist false theology. Scripture teaches that there is no secret rapture, okay? Scripture teaches that every eye will see him when he comes back. Scripture says that they will look upon him whom they have pierced. Scripture says that we will be caught up together forever to meet the Lord in the air. And then it also talks about shortly after that we're going to be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem, which came down from heaven, prepared for the bride. And so the reason that futurism and preterism, both of them, preterism being that everything was fulfilled in 70, even the return of Christ, and futurism is that at some point a day in the future, there's going to be one Antichrist. And so both of those, why were those, who brought that about, Brother Walt, and for what purpose? Futurism and preterism.
Well, dispensational futurism, I mean, it goes back to Vera. He wrote a book, and it was in 1540, but in other words, that was the seed of it. And of course, all the reformers told us who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist is the Pope.
Yes.
The papacy in succession. That's what all the reformers were unanimous. And that's what dispensational futurism is to distract us, you know, and that's what preterism is the opposite, you know, that it's already happened. That, in other words, it takes the closing thing is it takes the light off of the papacy.
Good point.
The beast right now, the woman that rides the beast, is what we're seeing in the COVID-19 pandemic. Because it's not just America, you know. It's and of course we know that Donald Trump is 100% in the camp of Rome.
Yes, he's made that very clear, even at the dinner, yeah. Al Smith dinner that he recently attended.
I thought it was really interesting too. A little bit, I got a book. It's written by P.D. Stewart. Anyway, yesterday morning we got up and he happened to reach down and grab the book. Donald Trump said the same thing in 2016.
Absolutely.
And the religious right is Catholicism. Yeah. You know, when you fellowship and you really talk about the truth, you know, I've been sleeping in the night and all of a sudden you see my website, Grand Design Exposed, this pandemic, what it's done. It is magnified and brought back everything in history in the past is right now. We're reliving the history of the Inquisition. It's the start of the Inquisition. It's an intellectual right now. It's an intellectual Inquisition, and they control it. They by controlling our reality through academia.
I would encourage everyone that listens to this broadcast to go to granddesignexposed.com. There's a lot of information on this website, very relevant information, not only about the founding fathers of this country. It's a whole plethora of documented research that Walt has done over the years, and he's done a really good job of it. In fact, you could spend quite a bit of time on there, getting a lot of questions that you might have about the origins of the Roman Catholic Church, down through the ages, the Inquisition, the founding fathers of the United States, the Jesuit, the origins of the Jesuits, Ignatius Loyola, his spiritual exercises, and on and on and on. Well, I'm going to bring this to a close. Again, I want to thank our special guest, Walt Stickle, for being with us today. It's been a real blessing. I wish we had the ability or capability. I'm not too much into technology. I'm just a, you know, I'm just a plumber's son. I'm not into technology, but I wish I had the ability to have Walt on with us in person like this more. We've done audio broadcasts, but I'd like to have him. I'd like to have the ability to be able to do videos. And I know there's a way of doing it through Zoom. I'm not sure. I live at the end of the world up here. We have a little podunk phone company that, you know, everything up here is kind of podunk, which I don't mind that by living at the end of the world. But I would like to be able to have the capabilities of doing some video conferencing. And so maybe we can work on that, or we can have Adeola. We can have some of our other friends time to time and share their thoughts, because we learn. I've learned an awful lot from Walt Stickle and the history, you know, the history of Germany.
I've learned an awful lot, like with Adeola.
Yes. It's
not that he knows it all, or right. Walt knows it all, but when you start sharing notes.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
Adeola has a lot of good information on the, on Quebec and the influence of the Roman Catholic, the Roman Catholicism in the United States because of Quebec and what happened with the Carroll family again.
And the Jesuits, founded North America, not just America.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, thanks, Walt. And we want to bring this to a conclusion. We're going to have a final hymn. And do you have a selection, Rosette or Mark?
511.
Okay. 511. We'll be back this evening at 6 o'clock. And Walt will be with us again this evening as well. And 511. Nothing but the blood. This is the hymn that I quoted earlier as we were talking. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, we hope you have a good afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you this evening if you can join us. God bless.